Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast and anywhere on the iHeartRadio platforms. I want to thank our show's sponsor, Whitman Lawn Care. Breathe new life into your lawn. Call Whitman Lawn Care today and let your lawn thrive from the ground up. Visit them at WhitmanLawnCare.com, and I appreciate their sponsorship. It is 411, 80 degrees on this Friday, September 5th, 2025. So the Venezuelans, we've seen a lot of movement and actions, and that has increased a lot over the past 48 hours. So we have multiple Arleigh Burke-class destroyers in the southwestern Caribbean, off the coast of Central and South America. We have amphibious assault ships down there. And we saw earlier this week that a Venezuelan drug cartel boat that was being tracked with 11 individuals on it and a large haul of illegal narcotics was targeted by our U.S. military and blown up. The video is out there. I pasted part of the unclassified video on my social media so you can see it there. It's pretty widespread there. Well, in response to that, early this morning, Venezuelan F-16s, two of them, buzzed one of our Arleigh Burke-class destroyers in what the United States Navy is classifying as an extremely dangerous, provocative move. U.S. Navy ship conducting counter-drug operations was interfered with Thursday when two Venezuelan military when two military aircraft flew over the vessel, according to the Department of Defense. The maneuver described by the Pentagon as highly provocative comes 2 days after U.S. forces attacked a Trinidad-Aruba drug smuggling boat in the Caribbean Sea, killing 11 narco-terrorists. Today, two Maduro regime military aircraft, they were F-16s, and I'll explain that in a minute, aircraft flew near a U.S. Navy vessel in international waters. The Pentagon said in a statement, the highly provocative move was designed to interfere with our counter-narco-terror operations. The cartel run in Venezuela is strongly advised not to pursue any further effort to obstruct, deter, or interfere with counter-narcotic and counter-terror operations carried out by the U.S. military. Now, I've brought up some concerns that I have. Our Arleigh Burke-class destroyers have one or two Seahawk helicopters that are highly equipped to do offensive and defensive maneuvers, but they are limited in their capacity, and against an F-16, not so much. Our Arleigh Burke-class destroyers themselves are extremely capable of defending themselves and taking out any threat in their vicinity. Our amphibious crafts that are in the area also have a mixture of helicopters and Ospreys, again, both limited in their defensive and offensive capabilities. So I've been saying for over 2 weeks now, because we've placed these assets there, we don't want them vulnerable. we do not know. We have an idea, or we do have a good idea of what Venezuela has as far as aircraft. They have a mixture of these F-16s, which were purchased from the United States in the 1980s. Now, that may sound like a long time ago, but most of our F-16 jets were from the 1980s, too, that are still operational. So that's not a long time for our planes. They are early versions of the F-16s. They're A's and B's, which are early versions of the F-16s, and they are basically a completely different animal than our modern F-16s that our Air Force flies today. That being said, these F-16s, the two that buzz this Arleigh Burke-class destroyer at a very low altitude, were carrying, as per intel officials and public information, obviously, surface-to-ground missiles that could have been a threat to this ship. The fact that the ship was in international waters, the fact that these planes do operate in international airspace, is not unusual, but to come that close and that provocative to one of our warships, especially at a time with heightened tensions, could very well have caused a major incident here. Now, thankfully, our military is extremely well trained, and the skipper of this boat, you know, held weapons tight, and there were no incidents. There was no further escalation other than a show of force by Venezuela. Well, what this in turn has done now, and again, let me get back to the F-16s. In 1983, I believe, the United States, when we were friendly with Venezuela, sold 15 F-16s to Venezuela, to their Air Force, just like we sell our F-18s, our F-35s to our allies around the world. Now, when we do these things, when we sell these aircraft that we operate, because we operate our F-18s, our F-16s, our F-15s, our F-35s, I don't believe we sell the F-22 to anyone else. But the F-35s we have sold to some of our allies, they're not the same version of what we put out there. Ours are more advanced. They're more superior. They may be the same base model, but it's basically comparing your bottom of the line Camaro to your Camaro SS, or for lack of a better comparison there. Ours are much better and have much more electronic capabilities. So in the 1980s, we did sell 15 of them. From what intelligence reports, 14 are still airworthy. But because of the embargo against Venezuela, they have not been able to get parts. They have not been able to get a lot of things. But these two that buzz this were equipped with surface-to-ground missiles that could have been an issue for this Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. And the fact that they did come that close, and again, our destroyers are equipped with very capable defensive measures that could have been a big problem for this F-16 if they perceived it as a threat and not just provocative. So what have we done in the meantime? Well, just this morning, and that's where I get this morning, this incident happened yesterday morning where they buzzed the ship. Just this morning, our Pentagon has ordered 10 F-35s to base in Puerto Rico. And they will be based there, ready to go, and could be anywhere in the Caribbean in a matter of minutes. Again, that is also far, but they will be flying patrols. We do have tankers that can keep them in the air for hours upon hours. So we do have air cover now, and there's other assets that we have equipped in the region to respond to such threats. And again, without the air cover to cover our helicopters, taking narco enforcement action there, because our helicopters are more suited to do this narco enforcement because they're slower, obviously can hover, and obviously can do other things than just take a quick flyby. But we need to protect them as well, and now that's become more so. And if you look at my social media over the past 2 weeks, I've said my concern that these helicopters, these ships, these assets that we have in this region with thousands of U.S. sailors and soldiers from our Marines are vulnerable, and we need to protect them. And it appears now, because of this incident, we are going to protect them. And it's been put out there very clearly, don't try this again. Now, if Maduro decides to test these waters, I can say that his F-16s will probably be sitting at the bottom of the Caribbean. But it's an escalation that we don't need here. Oh, well, then some people will say, well, why are we there to begin with? Well, because they are distributing and shipping poison by the tons to our shorelines. Now, this boat that was blown out of the water was headed to Trinidad, which was a stopping point and known intermediary to the United States. Off the coast, not very far off the coast. When I was in Venezuela in the early 90s, when they were still a friend of ours, I went to the Isla Mujeres, which is right off of Caracas, right off Venezuelan coast. Right next to that, or not too far from that, is Trinidad, which is an island of itself. It's its own nation, but it's not far off the coast of Venezuela. It's used as an intermediary, just like the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and Cuba is to bring drugs into the lower southeast of the United States. So I was unaware that Venezuela had F-16s. I know they have an assortment of Russian older MiGs that are really not a threat. They're capable, but not a threat to our advanced aircraft. And again, keeping them together and keeping them flying has been a test for Venezuela because it's isolated itself, even from places like Russia. But the fact that they did have two F-16s up and armed to buzz one of our ships is a concern that I think we all should be aware of. But in response to that, again, just this morning, 10 F-35 fighter jets have been assigned to Puerto Rico. They will be flying patrol missions throughout the Caribbean. And other assets, which I'm not like to say, will also be available in the area to respond if there's any threats whatsoever and could be on station in a mere minutes. So it looks like things are heating up, and the war on drugs is a very real war in the Caribbean. So we'll keep an eye on that, and I'll bring you the information, the public information that I can, because I get an OPSEC from some of the listeners out there all the time. Everything I talk to you here is publicly sourced, believe me. And that's why I said some other assets in the area, because they may not be. Let me tell you about MonkHVAC.com. Listen, I had them come out to my house. It was time to get my cooling units, and a heat unit is a bonus to that. Those ductless units that they put in the house. I was looking into them for a couple of months. My wife's been on my case. And so I wanted to pull the trigger on that. I wanted to finally, you know, live in a house that was cool all the time, not just those 2 or 3 weeks a year that gets too hot to bear with, and the heat benefit of it, the fact that it does both. Monk Heating and Air Conditioning fit all my bill. I wanted a local company. I wanted a company that was family-owned, and I wanted a company that used stuff that's not going to break down in a year or two. These guys are putting a Mitsubishi unit in my house that is the top of the line. All the research I've done said that's the way to go. The family-run business, Rob Monk came out to my house. He scanned each room, told me exactly what size unit I needed. I needed two handlers for downstairs, one unit outside to supply them, and explained everything, showed me what they were going to look like in my rooms on the walls, walked me through the installation process, told me how easy it was going to be, which was just incredibly satisfying for probably more my wife than me. And that family environment, listen, their name is on the company. It's not a national company. It's not a chain. It's not anything. It is Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. So if you ever deal with them, Jim, Rob, Taylor, Lauren Monk, great family to deal with. You could check them out at monkhvac.com. Tell them I sent you. They have 24/7, 365-day service, cool club maintenance plans, water heaters same day. They are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite Contractors, which was a big plus for me, and Train Premier Comfort Specialists if that's the direction you want to go. So check them out at monkhvac.com. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 4:27. Let me go to the phones for our friend Lorraine here. I had to put her on hold from earlier in the show, so hopefully she's not mad at me. Lorraine, how are you today?
Hello?
Yep, we're on here. We're here.
Yeah, I'm here too. Jake told me that you told me to call back in the next hour, so I always obey my elders.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was bad timing earlier, but I definitely wanted to hear your poem today, so that's why I asked him to tell you to call back.
And that's why I listened.
All right. So, hopefully we don't get you to curse today.
No. Well, you taught me all I know, so that's okay. Anyway, listen, my cell phone is on a fritz. It's gone with the wind. And so I can't charge. My minutes are going down, so I have to shut the phone off. I wish that they would have never done away with 1300. I wish that something could be done that us people up here, because I have a transistor and I have a portable radio, can't get a thing. It's a shame.
Now, all our friends in Hazleton there that's missing 1300, maybe call up and say you want 1300 back for WILK. Now's a good time to do
that. I wish something could be done, even if it's... Well, okay, I'll read you my poem. Are you ready for the challenge? Life can be a challenge. Don't most of us know that very well? You could think that things are great, then all of a sudden, everything isn't that swell. The challenge can be financial, or maybe physical or emotional stress. All I know is that it can be very devastating, and everything can become quite a mess. You can pray or just give up hope. Sometimes praying is difficult to do. I guess it depends on how strong you are and if you find praying works best for you. This world that we live in is not the world that we used to know. This is not being negative, but rather sometimes it's just the way things go.
Hmm. There you go. Challenge is sometimes hard there, Lorraine, but it usually makes us a better person in the end. Usually. Usually, I'll caveat that.
Oh, Lord. I'm ready to give up.
Oh, now I got you using the Lord's name in vain. Come on.
No. I did not. No, what did I say?
You said, oh, Lord. That's not bad.
What did I say?
You said, oh, Lord.
Well, I'm calling him.
Okay. Don't sick him on me. I got enough problems.
I'll sick him? Sick him on you? No. That's the devil that comes on you. Not you. I mean.
Oh, now I got the devil on me, Lorraine. Come on.
No, the devil is the one that does the bad thing. Does the bad things. I think he's on my back and he won't leave me alone.
Hopefully not.
Yes. Hopefully not. That he won't leave me alone.
No, hopefully he's not on your back.
Yeah, I hope not.
Don't worry,
he's
too preoccupied with me. Don't worry, he's got no time for you, Lorraine.
He's got no time for me.
Nope, that's a good thing.
I need a phone now, or I need a... I'll put a GoFundMe
page. So your phone's not charging?
It's not charging, and, you know, so I have to shut off to save power. So I was told... it's a long story, that eventually, even without using the power up, that it'll go dead little by little by little.
It will. It will. But, we won't keep you on the phone to take your power just in case you need it.
Well, no. I'm on my landline phone.
Landline. What's the make of the phone that you have?
That's a Samsung.
Samsung. All right.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. I don't know much about them. I'm an iPhone person, so.
Well, pardon me. We can't all be top of the line.
Well, believe me, iPhones aren't top of the line anymore. But mine's probably about 10 years old, so I'm far from state of the art.
This was a gift. But anyway, the thing is, what was I going to say? I don't know now, but so now when I hang up, you could talk about me all you want because I won't know a darn thing you're saying. I can't put you on Odyssey and hear myself talk again.
Oh, all right. We're going to have to do something to fix that. I'm going to talk to management today and say you've got to get us back on 1300 because Lorraine needs us.
It's a shame, yes. I remember when that first happened, you said to me, I wonder, Lorraine, I won't hear from her again. You're going to talk. Well, I don't know.
That was one of the first things that came to mind here, and it's still. Listen, I hear from our friends in Hazleton all the time that missed the show, and you know, we keep trying. There's always some big idea to get us back there somehow, and then it kind of fades away. Then there's a big idea to get us back there every now and then. Yeah. That's why I'm saying now's a good time to call up or send an email and say, hey, we want WILK back in Hazleton. Bring it back.
It's a shame because like I'm trying to fine tune the radio, and it's like, forget it.
Yeah,
you can't get a thing.
No, nope.
On 980 or 101.
Even up by me in the northern Lackawanna County, I'm on the fringe of where WILK hits because you know we only put out 5,000 watts, like our sister stations put out 25,000 watts. So you know we're just the little pup.
I think I was getting froggy or something. I don't even know before. But that's I can't hear you on froggy.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling today, Lorraine. I got to go to the news with Paul Michaels, but keep that battery as charged as you can.
Oh, no. It's not working. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lorraine.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye. It's 4:33 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement, and today we have two. We're going to start with police officer Isabel Santiago Naziaro, Philadelphia Police Department in 2008. She was killed when her patrol car was struck by a stolen SUV. She was on patrol when her and her partner learned of a vehicle pursuit in progress. Officers were pursuing a Cadillac Escalade being operated by an unlicensed 16-year-old. As Officer Santiago Naziaro and her partner headed south on 39th Street, the Escalade traveling east on Wallace Street, broadsided their cruiser near the passenger door, killing her instantly. Her partner was critically injured in a collision as well. And then we have Chief of Police Simon H. Clouser, Hazleton City Police Department in Pennsylvania, 1874, was shot and killed shortly before midnight while investigating the sounds of gunshots near the intersection of Broad Street and Mill Street. He and an officer had encountered an intoxicated man while searching for the source of the gunshot. As Chief Clouser asked the man if he had done any shooting, the man suddenly shot him in the chest. The suspect was taken into custody by the other officer and charged with murder. He was convicted of second-degree murder. Again, that was 1874. And those are our two from our area here in Northeast Pennsylvania who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. Let me go to the phone now. We have Trish Bainan for Scranton Mayor. Trish, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. So lots of things going on. Your race kind of got interesting this week as well. A lot going on in Lackawanna County, which has kind of underscored the battle you're in and the news that came out that someone's running for two offices at the same time.
I know they are. The Democratic machine, as she calls it, she's trying to fix everything up. And I don't think that she really has the best interest of the city of Scranton taxpayers at heart. I know she doesn't. She had a lot to say. I think, was she on Sue Henry the other day, speaking with her a little bit about her?
I believe she was on the morning show today.
The morning show today. Well, I just wanted to, if I could take a minute of your time, I just want to go over a little bit of what she had to say. She calls it the Democratic machine, and I feel that that's more of a tasteful cover-up of her own missteps. I don't think she's cleaning up City Hall, but I think she's kind of like maneuvering around it with her own personal agenda. That's my opinion on it. I think she's definitely made it more difficult for like the contractors to get a license in the city, more difficult for small businesses to stay afloat. And as far as fixing the finances, I think she mentioned that. Well, where have all the ARPA funds gone to, and why are the taxes too high, and why has the population of the city of Scranton decreased if we're so financially fixed? I was listening to a little bit of everything she was saying, and had a lot of issues with what her replies were. She says she's attracting new businesses, and the people I talk to, like the small business owners, they're barely making it one week to the next. a lot of them are working like 10 hours a day with like hardly any people on payroll because they can't stay afloat. And then they go ahead and they whack you with extra hours on the parking. And the I think you have to pay a parking for a credit card. You have to pay more money for a credit card if you use a parking
service,
meter.
There's a service fee if you use a credit card. Yeah. You kind of have to use, almost have to use a credit card if you're
have
using their
to use
app.
A credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I've been critical of her talk on the finances for the city of Scranton, because let's be honest here. She's been mayor most of the time during COVID. She got in as mayor just before mm-hmm. COVID kind of broke. And then there was the ARPA funds, which was one third of Scranton's annual budget that they received in ARPA funds. So I think any entity, if they received one third, even if it's over 2 or 3 years, if you received one third of your entire annual budget, you'd have to be in better financial shape or else you were severely doing some bad things. So I think any entity, I don't think this is unique to her strategy or what she's done. I think any entity that received that kind of money would have to be in a better financial shape. But that spigot has been turned off now, and it's time to really manage a city like Scranton.
And I don't know if she has the ability right now to manage the city of Scranton, and she doesn't want to because apparently she has no interest in the city of Scranton anymore because she decided to move on. I think she did what she needed to do here for a stepping stone, and she's finished with us. Now she's moving on, and she's going to leave the problems. Like, you know, I guess you would say if you leave a place so many times, you leave the problems behind, and then the next person has to deal with it. So she had her little share to create problems. And like you said, she had money with the ARPA funds to get where she needed to be. But where's the money coming from now? What is she going to do now? How is she going to take the monies that she has to fix the city of Scranton properly? I don't think she can do it.
Well, you live
in
Scranton.
Now she's ready to leave.
Yeah, you live in Scranton. You work in Scranton. I talk to people all the time who live and work in Scranton. They see the realities of what Scranton has and the things she's done and the things she has not done. What are you looking to bring to the city of Scranton? I know one of the things said is, first of all, you're going to be there for 4 years.
I'm going to be there for the full 4 years. And the city of Scranton doors, the city hall will be open. If you have a problem, you can call me, you can stop in, you can see me, and we'll work together to make the city of Scranton better and safer. Crime has increased in the city of Scranton. I know she mentioned putting more cops on the beat, but apparently they're not in the right area because the homicides and crime have increased in the city of Scranton. So I would definitely talk to the police department, the police force, and see where they need the proper police presence, because apparently it's not in the right area because we're not doing any better there. The potholes, she has the DPW. She hasn't met with them in, almost a year? Every time she plans a meeting with them, she cancels it. So I'm over at the La Festa over the weekend, and I was talking to a few people on the DPW, and they said they have no foreman, no superintendents, and no direction. So when they go out in the morning to perform a job, whether it's fixing a pothole or going wherever it is that they need to go, they have no idea what they're doing. The people just say, go out and do what you can. So say they have to fill a pothole. They don't know how much pavement to put in the street. They don't know how much to use because they don't have the right people to direct them. I think that's something that's a definite problem that needs to be addressed and fixed. And I would definitely work with them to make sure they have people that they need. And I don't know why she's not working with them on that. That amazes me. In itself, she doesn't work with the unions at all. She never has.
We've seen with the DPW. I believe there's also an arbitration pending or a grievance now to where mm-hmm. several members of the DPW were put in the clerical union, and I don't know how that happens, but that's something that needs to be figured out. But an arbitration is going to cost the Scranton taxpayer money. I know she held up an appointment to the retiree position on the firefighters pension board, which had them deadlocked on votes for a while. She sat on that for almost 2 years till finally making the appointment recently, and I had a bunch of individuals reach out to me there. So, listen, I think the people of Scranton see with their own eyes, you know, what has and has been done, regardless of what she says. You're giving your platform now. Do you have any events coming up to where people can come and listen to you? I know you got an event in Scranton coming up in September.
Yes, I do. September 10th from 6 until 8 p.m. at Posh. If you want to come out, ask me questions. I'm an open book. I'll answer anything you want to know. I'll tell you my visions. I'll let you know where I am, where I plan to go after I become mayor. And I will make sure that the city of Scranton people's voices are heard. They need that. They need somebody that's going to be here for 4 years, not going to leave the city of Scranton behind, and is going to work for them. And if if in 4 years I could say I left the city of Scranton in a better financial shape than it is today, I'd say I did my job. I feel strongly that I know I could do better than our current administration. And one last thing. She said politicians are getting richer, yet she's giving herself a $20,000 pay raise if elected for next year. So who's getting richer? Like, I don't understand her whole process here.
Yeah. Do you have a website or where people can go follow your platforms?
Yes. Trish at trishforscranton.com. Or you can visit me on Facebook and Instagram. And please feel free to, if anybody wants to make any political donations, I'd really appreciate it. You can go on my website. There's a QR code there. Or you could stop in on Wednesday over at Posh in Scranton from 6 until 8 p.m. and you can, if you want to make a political donation, and definitely come in and talk to me. I'd love to talk to anybody about anything. Like I said, I'm an open book. I have nothing to hide.
Okay, Trish Bynum, running for Scranton mayor. Thanks for calling the show today and giving us your platform.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's 4:47 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for today in history, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Let me see. We're going to have to play the condensed version here, right? In 1774, the first Continental Congress convened. Delegates from 12 of the 13 American colonies, excluding Georgia, met in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia. The first assembly marked a crucial step towards unified colonial resistance against British rule. 1836, Sam Houston elected president of the Republic of Texas. Following Texas' independence from Mexico, Sam Houston was elected as the new republic's president, an early key moment in the region's history before later joining the United States. Treaty of Portsmouth ends Russo-Japanese War in 1905. President Theodore Roosevelt helped mediate the peace treaty signed in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, effectively concluding the Russo-Japanese War and later earning him the Nobel Prize for diplomatic efforts. 1977, Voyager 1 launched. NASA launched Voyager 1 spacecraft from Florida. On this day, it's become the farthest human-made space object, continuing to relay data from beyond the solar system today. 1972, the Munich Olympic Massacre began. In tragedy and global impactful event, members of the Palestinian group Black September stormed the Olympic Village in Munich, killing two Israeli athletes and taking nine more hostages. All the hostages, along with five attackers and a German police officer, perished in the aftermath. Assassination attempt on President Gerald Ford in 1975. Publication of On the Record in 1957. Groundbreaking novel On the Record was published to critical acclaim. 1960, Muhammad Ali clashes Clay, won the Olympic gold medal in 1960. An AIDS activist protester at Senator Jesse Helms' home, 1991. Activist draped an oversized condom on the home of Senator Jesse Helms to protest the stance on AIDS funding and legislation. And the first Labor Day parade in 1882. The first Labor Day parade was held in New York City on September 5th. Organized by the Central Labor Union, it was a festive street demonstration honoring the contribution of workers, a tradition that would eventually lead to the federal holiday we celebrate today. And that's today in history. It is 4:56 here at WILK. We're good to the top. Look at that. I rushed through that for nothing. Let me see. I got our feel-good story of the day, which I'm going to get in here before the 5 o'clock hour each day to give us something here. So, come on, everybody loves a good fishing story, right, Jake? Yeah, he's nodded. A young man on the sea, a teen fishing off a New England coast, catches the huge halibut bigger than him. 13-year-old Jackson Denio, who was 5'9" and 120 pounds, landed a 177-pound halibut that could be a world record. New Hampshire teenager on a deep-sea fishing trip this week hauled in a 177-pound Atlantic halibut, a fish so big that it weighed more than him and could be the world record. Jackson Denio, a 13-year-old from Hampton, New Hampshire, was fishing about 100 miles off New England coast on the Catches Ledge Monday morning when he caught the fish. "I think I screamed honestly," said the young man, who weighs around 120 pounds and is 5'9". I don't know exactly what happened, but I was very excited. Denio had set out Sunday about with 30 others on an overnight charter trip on a deep sea fishing and whale watching. After everyone had caught plenty of pollock and other fish, Denio told the crew he wanted to catch a shark. They told him to fish at the bottom. Minutes after he dropped his hook with pollock on it, Denio got a hit and knew he had something big. He fought the fish for about 30 minutes, bringing it near the boat, only to have it dive back down. He was eventually able to get the fish to the surface, guided by the crew and cheered by fellow passengers who uttered plenty of oohs and ahs, spiced with profanity as to the size of the fish became clear. One person even yelled out, "Jackson, you're an angel of the man." I'm standing there watching him. All of a sudden, this fish took off, bit, and started pounding away, said Jim Walsh, the captain of the vessel that Denio was on. I looked at him and said, "Were you on the bottom?" And he goes, "Yep." And I said, "You don't have a shark." Walsh said it was the most impressed with Denio's composure. He did not let go once. He never let anyone else touch the rod. And he worked him, and then eventually the fish starts to tire out, even though it was that big. They do go tired. And then when they came to the surface, that's when we looked and went, "Oh, my God." They were ecstatic. Before the fish was carved up, Denio officially got it weighed and took photos and video of the fish. And he had provided other information about his fishing gear that will go into an application for the world record with the International Game Fish Association. The family plans to file an application under the junior record for Atlantic halibut and one under line class that includes all fish. The association didn't respond to a request for more information. Its website lists as vacant the record for Atlantic halibut under the junior male class. And while he is relishing all the attention, he itching to get back on the water again and catch something even bigger. It makes me want to keep fishing even more and try to beat the official record if I can. Set by him, right? Beat your own record. Listen, 13-year-old young man out there on a weekend fishing with 30 other guys and girls on an overnight fishing boat. You got to love it. Not attached to his phone or a TV or the computer. Good story of the day. 5 o'clock here at WILK.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.